The Antichrist. What do we know about this coming world ruler? Turn to the book of Daniel and find out.
Now, this one world ruler will also establish a one world religion, and he will deny all religions. He will deify himself. He will do what he desires. He will defy the one true God, and he will deny all religions.
Hello, and welcome to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. John pastors at Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano and is currently taking us through the Old Testament book of Daniel. We're nearing the end of this remarkable prophecy. We come to chapter 11, verse 36, and that speaks of the coming world ruler known as the Antichrist and an unprecedented and unrivaled time of trouble. So let's jump into today's teaching and see what we can learn about it. Here's Pastor John.
Daniel chapter 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 36. That's where we left off. In the first 35 verses of Daniel chapter 11, there are 135 prophetic statements covering 200 years of history that Daniel wrote in advance before it ever happened. The prophecies are so detailed and they are so accurate that critics constantly come against the book of Daniel, citing that it would be impossible for any man to write of these events before they happened. Yet we know that this isn't just any book. This is the Word of God. It's a collection of 66 writings that were penned by more than 40 authors from all different walks of life, written from three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, over a 1,500-year period of time, yet it maintains complete harmony and internal consistency. The Lord said through his prophet in Isaiah chapter 46, "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand forever, and I will do all my pleasure." God declared, "I declare these things before they ever happen. I plan it out before it ever comes to pass. I know exactly the beginning from the ending and how it's all going to turn out and everything in between." And in section 1 of chapter 11, verses 1 through 35 that we looked at last time, Daniel looks at the Gentile rulers from the Persian Empire to the Grecian Empire and how they impacted the Jewish people. Everything that Daniel wrote about in advance corresponds with history and came to pass just as Daniel had prophesied that it would. As the first 35 verses then come to a close, Daniel ended by looking at a ruler whose name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus was a Greek king of the Seleucid Empire who reigned over Syria from 175 BC till 164 BC, and he severely persecuted the Jews. It was said in his attack on Jerusalem that Antiochus killed 80,000 Jews and took 40,000 more as prisoners and sold another 40,000 into slavery, and he plundered the temple, robbing it of approximately $1 billion. In addition to these vile acts, he set up an altar dedicated to Zeus in the temple, and he sacrificed a pig upon the altar. And this, of course, led to the Maccabean revolt and the ultimate demise of Antiochus Epiphanes. But more than just a tyrannical figure in Jewish history, Antiochus was actually a foreshadowing of a coming world ruler known as the Antichrist. And what happened with Antiochus was like a dress rehearsal before the real show. The prophet Daniel predicts an atrocity in the temple in the last days. And Daniel's prophecy concerns a coming ruler who will cause the offering to cease in the temple, and he will set up what Daniel refers to as an abomination that brings about desolation. While what Antiochus did certainly qualifies as an abomination, Jesus speaks of Daniel's prophecy as having yet a future fulfillment in Matthew chapter 24 in his Olivet Discourse. The Antichrist will model Antiochus Epiphanes in his pride, in his blasphemous actions, and hatred of the Jews. Now, it is with that background that we come to chapter 11, verse 35. And notice the final sentence in that verse. It says, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. That phrase right there marks a sharp turn in this prophecy in the book of Daniel. Because in verse 36, we are now catapulted from Daniel's prophecies that were fulfilled in the past to Daniel's prophecies that will be fulfilled in the future. And keep this in mind. Unlike the previous verses that we've already studied, what we're going to read in the successive verses has no corresponding history. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in the future. And so we begin this evening in verse 36 with the final world ruler who would be the Antichrist. Look at verse 36. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. In verse 36, Daniel gives to us a prophetic insight into the character and the behaviors of this coming Antichrist. We were first introduced to this individual back in Daniel chapter 7, when you remember Daniel was given that vision of four different beasts representing successive empires, one after another, from Babylon to Medo-Persian to Greece to Rome. But in the fourth beast that Daniel saw, it was different from any of the others. In fact, he described it as being dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong, having huge iron teeth. It was different, he said, than all the other beasts. And he also spoke about the activity of this beast that he could not describe likened to any animal. He said he devoured, he breaks in pieces, he tramples under the residue with his feet. The Antichrist will come onto the scene, leading a revived Roman Empire, as the nations of the world will give their power and they will give their authority to him. Now, some of the characteristics, some of the behaviors of this one world ruler. First of all, in verse 36, it says he will do what he desires. It says there, the king shall do according to his own will. You can already tell how opposite this is of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus came to do the will of his Father. He said, I always do those things that please my Father. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. He submitted to the will of his Father. But Antichrist means instead of Christ. And this Antichrist seeks to do his own will. He is self-willed and he does according to his own will and his desires. By the way, let me just mention this to you. That's the desire of the devil for your life. Do according to your own will. Do whatever you want. In whatever way you decide, that's what he would love for you to do. That's what he tempted Adam and Eve. You remember in the very beginning in the garden, he questioned what God said. Has God really said that? Is that really God's will for your life? Listen, that's really not God's will for your life, in essence, is what he was implying. God's trying to hold something back from you. Do what you want. Take of the fruit. Don't listen to God. It was a very similar temptation that he gave to Jesus in the wilderness after Jesus had fasted, you recall? He basically told him, hey, turn these stones into bread. If you're really the Son of God, hey, cast yourself down off of this temple and people will recognize who you are. Why don't you just bow your knee before me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. What were all of those temptations suggesting? To do your own will, not God's will. And so here we have this Antichrist. He will do what he desires. But the second thing we see is that he will claim to be deity. He will do what he desires and he will claim to be deity. Again, verse 36, he shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. The beast of Revelation chapter 13, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, the Antichrist, will claim self-deification. and demand to be worshiped, declaring himself that he is God. The Apostle Paul alludes to this in 2 Thessalonians. Make a note of this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Here's what Paul says. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he himself sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul was talking about the Antichrist. He was talking about when he sets up the abomination which brings about desolation, it's essentially him demanding to be worshiped as God. Again, you can tell that Satan's behind it because that's always what he's wanted. The worship that was set aside for God, he wanted to be worshiped. And this representative of Satan, the devil incarnate, will demand to be worshiped and people will worship him. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 that the Antichrist will suffer some kind of a mortal wound and he will recover. And what will follow? All the world will worship him. There's a false prophet that will have an image dedicated to him. He's a counterfeit Christ. What did he suffer? How did he die? Maybe did he rise from the dead 3 days later? I don't know, but what we know for sure is that the world's going to worship him and he's going to demand their worship. But also, the third thing we see concerning this Antichrist is that he will defy the one true God. Notice in verse 36, he shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods. Now, one of the behaviors of the Antichrist is he will blaspheme the true and the living God. And again, we see this even in our world at the present time. There are those who are Antichrist in the things that they say. There is a spirit or an attitude that is very anti-Christ that we see in coming from atheist movements, those who deny the existence of God, blaspheme his name, persecute those who believe in him. There is a spirit of Antichrist. We know the Antichrist individually is going to come, but the spirit of Antichrist is already among us. We see it in the world at the present time. Now, this one world ruler will also establish a one world religion, and he will deny, this is the fourth thing, he will deny all religions. He will deify himself, he will do what he desires, he will defy the one true God, and he will deny all religions. Look at verse 37. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. For he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses. And a God which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold, silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. He shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Now let's look at these verses together. First of all, make note that it says he will neither regard the God of his fathers. There are those that have looked at this phrase and assumed in this verse that the coming world ruler will be Jewish, that his nationality will be Jewish. And the reason they say that is because it says he will not regard the God of his fathers. That is a phrase that is used repeatedly throughout the Old Testament when it speaks of a king, for example, that would forsake the Lord, the God of his fathers. And so there are those that suggest the only way that the Jews would receive a Messiah is if he was Jewish. And there are some that suggest that. And if he is Antichrist or instead of Christ, it would seem that the Jews would more than readily welcome a Jewish Messiah that the Old Testament scriptures point to. Others suggest that this phrase is better translated, the gods, small g, gods of his fathers. Meaning the Antichrist simply rejects the religions practiced by his parents without specifying what religion it is. Either way, we know this for sure, he won't regard God. That you can be sure of. It also says here that he won't have the desire for women. nor the desire for women. Now, this phrase, again, has led some to favor a Jewish origin of the Antichrist, because Jewish women often expressed their desire in the Old Testament to be the mother of the Messiah. That was a desire of every Jewish woman. In fact, I believe it's Haggai chapter 2 talks about the fact that it's a desire of women. They want to have this Messiah. Everybody wanted that privilege. Mary, of course, was given that privilege, but the desire of women would be the Messiah. And so again, there are those that look at this and they will say, the fact that the desire of women would be to give birth to the Messiah, the term desire of women implies he doesn't respect or honor the Messiah in any way. Still, others say when it refers to him not being with women, that it means he's homosexual, that he won't have the desire for natural affection. Regardless of what interpretation, it seems that the first seems to, in light of its context, seems to flow better than the second. But nonetheless, here's what you know for sure. He definitely will not respect the Messiah, and he will be without natural affection, because again, as I said, he will be the devil incarnate. That you know for sure. So will he be Jewish nationally? I don't know. My Messiah is. I'm looking for him. Ultimately, that's what you're going to walk away with tonight. I'm looking for the return of Jesus. I'm not looking for the Antichrist, but nonetheless, the Bible talks about it, so we're aware of who it is and kind of gives us some insight. We also know that this coming leader will be devoted to military conquest. That's what's implied in verse 38 when it says, in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses. Even though Antichrist will not serve any God, his God, in essence, will be military conquest. He's going to declare himself to be God. And that which is his passion, that which is his desire, ultimately that he worships, is power. He wants military conquest of the whole world. He wants world domination, and he will achieve his goal as the devil empowers him and he deceives the world. You remember in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, that as John describes there, the Antichrist, he says, I look and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. That doesn't speak of Jesus Christ, that speaks of the Antichrist. He has a crown, he has a bow, and he's got one desire, and that's to conquer. He worships the God of fortresses. We also know from the Bible, here in Daniel, as well as other passages, that he derives his power from Satan. He derives his power from Satan. Verse 39, thus he shall not act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. He shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. He's worshiping the God of fortresses, a God which his fathers didn't know, and he shall honor him with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things, and he shall act against the strong fortresses. Some interpret this when it talks about him worshiping a God that his fathers did not know and honoring it with gold and silver and precious stones, that this would speak of Satan. We know from the scriptures in Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, that the Antichrist receives his power from the dragon. And the dragon is none other than Satan. He's the one empowering this man to carry out his wicked plans. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with powers and signs and lying wonders. So we know that this Antichrist is going to derive his power from Satan himself. Satan's going to be the one empowering. Just like for us today, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Well, Satan's going to empower this man to be able to do what he's going to do. So what do we know about him? He will do what he desires. He will claim to be deity. He will defy the true and living God. He will